Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show. QT and Sign Guy with you once again here on a Sunday afternoon. If you're looking for some wrestling today, you can catch me later today in Portland, Oregon. I'll be back at NWA Blue Collar tonight. Should be a great show. Lots of fans around the country hitting the China Buffet today for the movement Brian Alvarez started as we celebrate SummerSlam. So look for those in your neck of the woods. There's lots of them happening all over the country today. Without further ado, I would like to welcome back to the program one of our favorite all-time guests, Seymour Snot. Mr. Snot, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sign Guy and QT. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, just last night, you were victorious in your match at Gouge Wrestling. You want to tell us a little bit about what went down in Gouge last night?
Well, once again, you know, I thought I was going to face one guy, and that, of course, was the Priest. And, you know, obviously it turned into a bingo match with fisticuffs flying around. So I was used to him having his notorious manager, the Devious Sheik Admir Al-Akbar, with him. But what I wasn't surprised about, and this is what really kind of like I knew was going to kind of happen, was that Devious Shah of Grog, or Count Grog as he likes to be called, came out in support of him. I mean, I can't believe it. It's like the guy just wants to keep bothering me and bugging me and bringing me down. You know what I'm saying?
You and Grog have had your problems for a very, very long time. Do you see this feud ever being settled between the two of you?
I don't know. I mean, it may have to end where I just get him in the ring and finally give him the snot drop and end his career. You know what I'm saying?
That might be what comes down to settling this feud. But you can't count the Shah of Grog out because he's been around a very, very long time. He's very resourceful when he senses danger.
He's very resourceful. He's very devious. He's very nefarious. It's like every evil adjective you could come up with to describe the man, he's right there.
He definitely is. Now, at Gouge Wrestling, over the last few months, you've been having a lot of fun shows held outdoors at some breweries. What's it been like this summer wrestling for the fans outdoors at some of these venues?
Actually, you know what? It's been a lot of fun because most of the time that I've been indoors, it's almost like I'm getting claustrophobic. So these shows outside have actually been a lot of fun, and, you know, not having a roof over your head does certainly, you know, provide us with a little bit more kind of ambiance, like we're outside in the old Roman Colosseums, you know what I'm saying?
Now, of course, wrestling at the breweries, not the exact same as the Roman Colosseum, but I've noticed you've been attracting some really good crowds. The response seems to be very strong. Do you think the Gouge is going to be able to make this kind of an annual thing during the spring and summer months?
It looks like it will be. We've got a lot of positive fan reaction, and the breweries are very happy about it. They do very well. You know, it's like the old saying goes, wrestling and beer definitely go hand in hand together. So we are attracting, I think, some newer fans, and some old ones are starting to come back again. So, and plus a lot of the emphasis now in Gouge, of course, you know, is on the gimmicks and the characters. So, you know, hopefully soon we'll have a few more oddities to add to the roster very soon.
You would think a company that is named Gimmicks Only Underground Grappling Entertainment might draw a few entertaining gimmicks along the way.
Right.
Now, one of the young competitors at Gouge that has been drawing quite a bit of attention from fans as well as the wrestling media is Timmy Lou Retton. We talked a little bit about him the last time you were on here, but in those several months, what have you noticed about his progression in Gouge as well as wrestling at large?
I have to say that he's probably starting to see it's a little bit tougher than he probably first thought it was when he came into it. You know, definitely for him being a young guy and in the business, and he's trying to progress, and, you know, he's definitely got a, you know, now that he's the Gouge champion, he's probably got the bullseye on him now, because everybody will want to start taking him out. He's definitely athletic, and he's a really good wrestler. It's just going to come down to the fact that he's going to have to start dealing with more guys that are very desperate to beat him for the belt, and, you know, try and show him a thing or two that he may not have learned yet. So he's doing very well. You know, he's definitely on the right path, but he does lack a little bit of experience when it comes to facing some of the saltier wrestlers out there.
Is there any fear on your end of someone young in the business like that, that is facing the pressure of being the champion, being wooed by the likes of, say, an Akbar or a Grog?
Well, I'd have to say definitely, because, you know, the one thing that some of the young guys don't have is they don't have the guidance or the knowledge that a lot of the more experienced vets have. And, you know, for a manager to come along like a Grog or a Akbar or anybody else and definitely try and lure young talent away is always something you see as a trainer, and as kind of like you have to kind of like watch out for them the best you can.
Recently, on an episode of Monday Night Raw, John Cena had his nose broken at the knee of Seth Rollins. If my memory serves, we talked the last time that you actually years before broke the nose of John Cena. What do you think of Seth Rollins kind of honing in on your territory?
Well, you know, it's nice that, you know, Seth Rollins is defending the world title tonight. You know, it's a title versus title match tonight, right? So why isn't Seth Rollins defending the belt against me?
That's a good question. You beat him by several years to breaking John Cena's nose.
He can find me on Twitter. He can find me on Facebook. He can just, you know, he can just think that he's the, you know, the greatest WWE world champ right now, but, you know, he hasn't faced the snot yet, so.
Is Seth Rollins in your top list of opponents that you've not faced that you most want to face?
He would be definitely in the top five right there. Somewhere between Doink the Clown and maybe Baskin Booger, if they were still alive.
Very impressive list. And I've been in the ring with Doink the Clown. He was a feisty individual. Now, we talked at the beginning of the show about the China buffet tradition started by Brian Alvarez up here in our neck of the woods, the Pacific Northwest. Has the tradition reached North Carolina where you're at, and has Seymour Schnott taken part in said tradition, if so?
You know what? I don't think it's reached here yet, and it's kind of difficult to say that because I'm not really a true-blooded North Carolinian, so mostly I would probably go out to a China buffet, but I would probably get sushi instead of just the dumplings.
I believe that might be what Brian Alvarez himself has. Now, the people at Gouge, for the last many, many years, going back probably 15 years at least, have had a good relationship with Pro Wrestling Illustrated. You see the Gouge rankings in PWI quite a bit. A lot of their members are in the PWI 500 when that issue hits every year. What do you think about Pro Wrestling Illustrated as it stands in today's marketplace, and how does it affect independent wrestling as far as you're concerned?
Well, I kind of think that, and I hate to really say that, but it's, I think the printed media, as far as like magazines and that, is kind of on the downside. And, you know, that's just the way things are today, you know, especially with, you know, the internet and everything. And, you know, more, I think more and more independent wrestlers are going to online, you know, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Reddit, or whatever you want to say it. But, and it's kind of a letdown, because, I mean, I grew up in that period of the 80s and 90s where, like, you know, me and my friends used to religiously read, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, The Wrestler, and, you know, all the old magazines and stuff, you know, stuff like that. And you kind of consider the WWE magazine like a fluff magazine, or, you know, kind of like, it's nice and everything, but it's not as in depth as a Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And then today it's like, you know, you look for a copy of PWI on the newsstands and you're lucky to find one. So, I think like the PWI 500 was great when it first started. It was fun, but it's like a lot of guys take it, like, especially now, it's like they take it way too seriously. It doesn't, you know, I mean, years ago when they first started it, for Christ's sake, pardon my French, but when they first started it, you know, they didn't even put The Undertaker in there, but they did put Zeus in there. So that kind of shows you how the PW 500 worked.
As I recall it, they tried to save face the next month and say it was a error on the part of the editor, but someone in that office must have been a huge fan of Zeus.
Yeah, I think he was number 500 that year.
I believe so, based on his one match for that calendar year. Well, at this point in time, QT is standing by, and QT has some questions, so Fez, help you as I hand things over to him.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Seymour.
Hey, QT.
Seymour, we were supposed to have on a wrestler today who goes by the name of Johnny Rocks, and I was studying a match of his called Johnny Rocks with Jimmy Sharp versus Ray Fury. And one thing I have noticed that is a trend of recent wrestlers in our interviews is that they are giving promos and having matches in surroundings that have a deep red color that is almost bordering on the reddish purple. And I was going to ask Mr. Rocks if he would join me in my new crusade to have wrestlers all over the United States, and this is going to be universal, is to have them wrestle in venues with a universal color scheme of walls that are lemon yellow, and roofs of blue and white that are like the sky with outlines of birds strongly suggested. Well, imagine my delight when you wrestled Jacob Hammerheimer in an outdoor venue. My ceiling tile color scheme was already granted. Yes.
Well, that's fabulous. You know, I mean, it. You know, you never know when a bird could fly by and cause outside interference in a wrestling match. You know, a seagull, perhaps a pigeon, hopefully a cardinal, you know, which would be good luck. You know.
I see. Are there any truth to the rumors that the cardinal is your favorite bird?
I do like the cardinal. I think it's a very distinct bird just because it's red.
Oh, well, yeah, that would go against my color scheme, though. I was hoping that you would say canary, more lemon yellow. Yes.
Canary's okay, but I think they're a little bit too loud for me.
I see. Have you yourself ever used a falcon as a foreign object? Falcon, bird of prey.
No, I haven't used a falcon, but years ago, Eskimo Joe used a frozen fish on me.
I see. Is there any chance that you could see this match on YouTube? I've never heard of a fish being used as a foreign object.
I think I can find it somewhere. It might be on Google somewhere. It was probably from 2007, I want to say.
Is it true that one of your goals is to make it out to the Pacific Northwest and do some steelhead fishing?
I don't know about that. I would kind of like to go up there and just try some good maple syrup. I think that would be on there. Perhaps maybe some fine coffee from Seattle.
Oh, well, Sign Guy is no stranger to maple syrup, yes.
I do enjoy a fine bottle of maple syrup, usually on pancakes. I'm not much of a waffle guy, even though I do go to the Waffle House, but I'm more of a pancake guy.
I see. Now, have you ever put maple syrup on blueberry muffins?
No, I haven't.
I see. Is one of your favorite movie scenes of all time where in Goodfellas, one of the gangsters gets outraged because there's not blueberry muffins evenly distributed in a blueberry muffin?
You know what? I do like that. That was actually from Casino, though.
Oh, yes. I see.
But yes, that's one of my favorite scenes because it does pose a mathematical question about the odds of blueberries and the odds of more blueberries being in one set of muffins and the lack of blueberries in another set. So that does provide a very interesting math problem right there. So
now, can you give me your top three wrestlers where you would like to reenact this blueberry muffin scene with the wrestlers in the Gouge roster? Top three wrestlers.
For sure. I would go with Otto Schwanz, Jimmy Jack Funk Jr., and I would say nice guy Mickey Gambino.
Oh, well, Mickey Gambino, he has that Italian mobster name already down. He would be the hands-on choice, yes.
Right.
Now, if he could play the gangster enraged at the distribution of blueberries in the muffin, would Jimmy Jack Funk be a good choice to play the cook, who once hearing that he wants the blueberry muffins to be evenly distributed, he gets a look on his face of disbelief and downheartedness because he knows that he better come through in this impossible task. Jimmy Jack Funk, yes.
Oh, yes. I think he would be a good choice for that because, you know, you could put a little brim around the chef's hat, like his cowboy hat, and maybe have the insignia on the chef's hat, too.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, I think Sign Guy and myself will have to try to come up with the funds and maybe a per diem and make this happen. Yes.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I think even better, too, would have you could have the Gouge roster sitting in the restaurant looking perplexed at the muffins.
Well, you know, as you know, he went back into the kitchen and confronted the cook. So you'd have to have a whole bunch of other cooks, you know.
Right.
The couch washer. Yes. Oh, okay. All right, well, Seymour, the announcer in this match against Jacob Hammermeyer, he said that you were originally from Silicon Valley. Do you have anything to do with the exceptional drought that is going on there? And I might add, exceptional drought is one step above extreme drought.
Actually, that would be up to my relatives that were out there. And they actually work in the computer industry. And they don't really handle the natural resources. That would probably be someone else that didn't end up going to school out there.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, Seymour, I have recently formed a weather club out here, and we have a retired wrestler who was very good, multi-time Tulalip Championship Wrestling heavyweight champ, Aaron Bolo. He just got admitted to the club. What could you bring to our weather club that has close symbiotic ties with wrestling in the Northwest if we made you a member?
I would definitely say I'd like to be in charge of umbrella distribution, because it looks like I would be very busy at that job, but I could also use my math skills to sort of calculate how many individuals would need an umbrella every day.
I see. Well, I'd like to inform you, Seymour, that Seattle and the Vancouver area, and especially on the east side of the mountains, we're also under extreme drought, not exceptional. If you go to www.droughtmonitor.com, you can see the entire United States and the color codes of droughts that they are under. And surprisingly, Washington State has now been painted a lot of red, which means exceptional drought. There's a lot of fires, wildfires going on in the eastern part of the states. I'm going to have to say that you would have to shelve your umbrella deal. People haven't needed their umbrellas for about 150 days now.
Wow, that's a long time. It is starting to end. You know, the summer is almost over, so hopefully those wildfires, and I'm not referring to Tommy Rich either, will soon end due to the fall. You know, they will bring some rain.
Yes, I'm glad you brought up a wildfire, Tommy Rich. See the close symbiotic relationship wrestling and the weather have in common? Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. All right, we'll see more. Now, I noticed that in your gouge match of July 18th with Jacob Hammermeyer, you were, of course, a tie in your match. Did you know that the lead singer of the Grateful Dead, Jerry Garcia, used to have his own line of Jerry Garcia ties?
I think I heard that, and I think what it was that when I went to the ring, Count Grog made mention to me about that. He said he knew, you know, he said Jerry Garcia had his own line of ties, and I said, well, that's nice. I go, but did he have any Batman ties? And he said, no. And I said, well, you know, Jerry Garcia's music is a little bit too fast-paced for me, so I think he got kind of angry, and that's when he started throwing beanbags at me during that match.
Yes, I saw the beanbag toss. That's the first time I've ever seen beanbags being tossed at an event. It gave a refreshing kind of approach to a wrestling match under blue and white puffy clouded skies. Yes. So let me get this straight. When you're talking about tie apparel, you get along quite well with Count Grog.
Well, you know, it was starting out pretty nice, and then all of a sudden, you know, like I found out, like, all the things he was behind. Like, you know, he let the air out of my bicycle tires, you know, which I thought was pretty bad, you know, because I was late to return some books to the library, you know. And I had to call a cab, and of course, you know, that wasn't any fun because I had to use my lunch money for that.
I see. Now, do you have any free libraries in North Carolina like we do have up here in Seattle right next to some wooded parks where you can just go up and pick out a library book on a wooden stand by your own?
I think there are, but they're none near me because I live in the city. And I think if I did that, I'd probably get beat up.
I see, yes. Yes, the Rainier Valley in Seattle is a pretty rough area. I'm sure you'd have to go right in high noon, surrounded by security, and to pick out a library book. Yes, because you wouldn't want to go there at night.
My problem is when I go to these places, they always have someone out there claiming to be a wallet inspector, and I'm like, you know, I've already lost three of them, so I hope like everything's all intact.
Oh, okay. All right, can I ask what kind of bicycle you have? Is it like a Schwinn bicycle circa 1967 with the fat tires?
Well, I went with a Schwinn from 1983, and it's a 10-speed.
Oh, okay, 1983. So that was prior to Back to the Future. That was right before Back to the Future came out.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it still has its training wheels on it, so.
Ooh, wow. Well, training wheels, that can attract a certain type of woman. Yes, some women that are into training wheels. Yes. Now, Seymour, Jerry Garcia was in pretty good shape back in late 1964 when the band he was in was called Warlocks. And a year and 7 months earlier, he had just gotten out of the Army. How well could you have done against Jerry Garcia in a Hell in a Cell match on Haight-Ashbury Street in San Francisco at the start of the hippie movement in April of 1965?
Well, I think before the match started, I would definitely present him with a plate of brownies and hoping that maybe that sugar would give him a short rush of energy, but then he'd eventually get tired by the time the 10-minute time limit, or you know, the 10-minute time, the once 10 minutes went by, and then from there I could just take over on him and you know, take him to town, because I know those brownies, you know, they probably wear him out. He had that sugar rush for a little bit, but definitely not for the rest of the match.
Well, at that time, I'm sure the brownies contained more than sugar.
Oh, definitely. They probably had gluten in them, too. So, you know, that's
bad.
Ah,
yes, gluten. Yes, deep-fried gluten wrapped in bacon and stuffed in brownies.
Oh. Yep.
All right. Well, now, in your match with Jacob Hammermeyer, if you freeze the video at the 3:30 mark, you can see a food truck, which is painted green. My question is, did you have anything from this food truck after the match?
I didn't have anything after the match. I was, you know, I was so discombobulated and shocked by the fact that I actually could hit the shot drop on Jakob, that, you know, I was surrounded by the fans, and I was like, by the time I came out from the back, the food trucks were already packing up the leaves.
Oh, come on!
I mean, I couldn't even find a hot dog. I couldn't even find a hot dog stand.
Wow, no foot-long hot dogs?
No foot-long hot dogs, not even the Nathan's or a Smith's.
Oh, wow, yes, Nathan's is a very good hot dog. They're pretty. Nathan's is a hot dog that they eat at Coney Island.
Yes.
My question is, have you ever been in a Coney Island hot dog eating contest?
No, I haven't, but you know, every once in a while, I do get the urge to do something crazy, so an eating contest may pop up sooner than later, so I'm definitely eyeing something like that. Could be pies, could be pizza, could be hot dogs. You just never know.
I see. How about Hostess fruit pies?
I would definitely do a Hostess fruit pies, but my only problem is I can't seem to find them anywhere.
Oh, come on. They're plentiful out here. I just offered Buddy Highway a chocolate fruit pie in Bremerton, Washington. Chocolate fruit pie.
Wow. See,
yes.
I couldn't even find a cherry or an apple one around here. And then when I do, it's just the generic store brand.
Come on. I'm going to have to mail you a Hostess fruit pie. I'm going to say cherry, and I'm going to surround it with styrofoam peanuts if you give me your forwarding address.
Sure thing. I can do that.
Oh, all right. Okay. What's good enough for Buddy Highway would be good enough for Seymour Snot. Yes. All right. Well, now speaking of Nathan hot dogs and footlong hot dogs, were you a big fan of when Goldust offered Booker T a bite of his weenie at 7-Eleven? That's one of the classic videos of all time, in my opinion.
I was a big fan of that. I thought the Booker T Goldust tag team was nothing short of pure magic. It was just comedy personified in a time when, you know, not everything was working. That was.
Now, have you ever met Goldust or Booker T?
I really haven't. The closest I've ever been to Goldust was I did a show about 10 years ago, and it was and his father was on the show. Dusty Rhodes was on the show, so that was interesting. So
now, speaking of stars that are just as big as Goldust and Booker T, the wrestling world was saddened by the passing of the Hot Rod, Roddy Piper. Did you have a chance to meet him quite often when he came to the Carolinas?
I didn't. It's one of those things, too, like, you know, when you kind of think about, like, when you go to, like, Cauliflower Alley, you know, you always meet some people and stuff like that. And the one year he was there, I wasn't there. And then you kind of, like, you think about it, it's like, well, I'll go next year, and then they're not there. And then, you know, you hear some unfortunate news and that, and then you're like, well, I really wish, you know, I would have gone, you know, the year before instead of this year or something. But I definitely recommend it to a lot of wrestlers and wrestling fans if they get a chance to definitely hit up the CAC if they want, you know, because it is a great organization, and it is fun to be a part of and go to, you know, and it's not as congested or as busy as a lot of these, like, wrestle cons or anything are. So it's just sometimes nice to go meet these legends, you know, in a kind of a casual atmosphere.
Well, I tell you, I had a chance to see the Hot Rod in action. Well, not really in action. He was at Portland Wrestling Uncut, and there was a young kid making his referee debut in the ring. He was still in high school. In fact, I think he was only a sophomore. He was only 15 years old. But Roddy Piper, after the match, made it a point to single out this young man and give him praise and said that he did very well for his first match. And the guy and the young kid had a very nice smile about that. So that was big props to Roddy Piper for me. Plus, he liked the sign I was holding up. Yes. So that was very good. But, hey, you know, now in your match with Jacob Hammerheimer, your first offense after that vicious beanbag attack when you got in the ring, you mounted a series at the 340 mark where you had 6 punches to his midsection plus a kick, but he quickly recovered. Had you wrestled Mr. Hammermeyer before, and were you surprised at the strength of his abs?
You know what? I have wrestled him before, and basically what I was doing was an act of desperation after getting hit with those beanbags. I was a little weakened, so maybe my punches weren't as hard on him as they should have been. So, you know, usually I'm not a big puncher guy. I'm usually more of a forearm guy. So I had to do something out of desperation. And unfortunately, you know, the power of the punch didn't work that well on him. So maybe I should have gone back to the power of the forearm or the force of the forearm, if you may quote me on that.
I see. Now, what's the hardest forearm a lady wrestler has ever given you, and has a forearm from a lady wrestler ever knocked you senseless?
I've never been hit by a forearm from a female wrestler with a forearm that hurt. I was punched in the shoulder once by Baby Doll, and that hurt very, very, very much.
Oh, boy, Baby Doll. Okay. Did she give you a partially torn rotator cuff?
Actually, no. It was more like kind of like a, it was almost like a Hertz donut. So I definitely felt it. It stung. Luckily, I wasn't, you know, my shoulder wasn't knocked out of place or anything. But I definitely felt the force of that.
I see. Now, did this affect your carpal tunnel syndrome that you yourself said that you slightly suffer from your days in the Silicon Valley?
It didn't really affect it too much because it was up high. Had she stepped on my hand, maybe, because, you know, she is infamous for beating up the male wrestlers like myself or Bobby Eaton or Jim Cornette.
All right. Well, now, Seymour, Sign Guy often mentions you in his Sign of the Times. Do you ever see a time when you come on the Sign of the Times as an undercover, in a role as an undercover sting operation, kind of like Incognito?
Oh, that could be definitely worked out. You know, I mean, he may be going from these undisclosed locations, but, you know, I do have my resources, and I'm very skilled with my iPhone on locating people. So you never know. He may be doing it from an undisclosed location somewhere in a park, and, you know, I may just come up from behind and surprise him. But not in a bad way, because I'm not a bad guy.
Oh, okay. Not a bad way. Kind of plutonic. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Seymour, Casey Carlisle is always featured on the Sign of the Times. Have you got your holiday shopping out of the way and ordered your Casey Carlisle pillow picture?
I haven't. I have seen the real thing. I have been in the dressing room with her, so, you know, and everything, you know, is fine there. So I don't need the pictures. But I do have, like I said, my phone, so there's always Google on that, so I can definitely look up whatever I need or feel like I need at that time.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Seymour, Sign Guy mentioned the China Buffet trend started by Brian Alvarez here in the Northwest. Have you ever been to a Golden Corral?
I have. I think the last time I'd been to one was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, though.
Oh, okay. 5 or 6 years ago. Okay. All right. Well, Seymour, speaking of food, the newest aircraft carrier, the USS Ford, is about to be launched. It has completed construction in Newport News, Virginia. And while underway, they will now serve less than the 18,000 meals a day that might be served, say, like on the George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, which is the same class of aircraft carrier, but the George Washington will have 600 fewer less personnel due to advanced construction design and greater efficiency. My question is, did you ever think about wrestling on an aircraft carrier deck? And they did have a WWE match on the Intrepid in New York City. Yes.
Oh, I definitely love to wrestle on an aircraft carrier. I think that'd be great because, you know, depending on who I was wrestling, whether it be, you know, Jakob Hammermeyer or Mickey Gambino or Jimmy Jack Funk Jr. or Otto Schwann, I mean, there'd be plenty of things to do out there. You know, I mean, I could try and, like, tie one of them up to a missile and maybe try and shoot them off one of the jets or maybe use a life preserver to choke one of them out or something like that. And then maybe I could actually stick Count Grog in one of the torpedo chutes and maybe launch him out of Gouge forever.
I paid big money to see you launch Count Grog through a torpedo tube out of a torpedo tube, like say on a Typhoon class submarine. Yes.
I think that'd be kind of funny because you'd see his little feet kicking and then his tape like flowing. That's a pretty beautiful image, I think.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I think of all the aircraft carriers around, I think the one I would like to see you most on is the Hornet in Alameda.
The Hornet?
Yes. Hornet. This was an aircraft carrier that saw action in World War II, and they had some fatalities on the ship, and it's a very haunted ship. People see people that tour the ship, especially at night, see people going up and down the stairs within the ship in World War II khaki uniforms.
Wow. I mean, if I was on there, I would, I don't like ghosts. So, that could be pretty scary. I mean, my choice of being on an aircraft carrier would probably be like the Enterprise, because it'd be like Star Trek all over again.
Oh, okay. Yes, that was a good movie when they were on the Enterprise. Yes. And Seymour, did you know that sometimes when it's twilight and the sun has just come down, some people claim they see a ghost flight of World War II airplanes approaching the Hornet?
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be kind of scary. But if you had a wrestling match on the forecastle, it wouldn't be too bad. I think the planes would try to stop in midair to watch your match. Yes.
Well, as long as the ghost came by and got an 8x10 and a T-shirt, I think I'd be pretty happy with that.
What if a ghost was a ring announcer? Now that would be good. Yes.
I could see a ghost ring announcer. I mean, we've had ghost title changes in the past, so I think a ghost ring announcer would be fine.
Well, there you go. See, now you have another symbiotic relationship between old World War II aircraft carriers, ghosts, and wrestling. I have always maintained this, always, on the show. Yes. All right, well, Seymour, I am going to try to forward this cherry fruit pie to you. I am outraged that Hostess Fruit Pies don't really have any selection near you, and I'll try to remedy that situation, and I will now pass it back over to Sungai. Yes.
Thank you.
Very well. Oh, okay.
Thank you, QT. Well, Seymour, as QT alluded to, you're often featured in autograph picture form on the sign of the times, and Casey Carlisle and your arch nemesis, Count Grog, they commandeered a show and they call it Sign If the Times. Where do you see the similarities, Sign of the Times and Sign If the Times?
Well, I want to say that he was trying to do it as a joke, but I think when he was typing it in, he instead of putting an O, he put an I, so he may have had vowel confusion right there.
That could be. Casey Carlisle has that effect on men, too.
Right, I definitely think he had a vowel movement right there.
It seemed to be, definitely. Now, also on YouTube, if people can search this out, and you've often shared it on your social media, the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan did a commercial for the Seymour Snot T-shirt. What was it like having the endorsement of the former Dungeon of Doom leader?
Oh, that's a fantastic endorsement. I love it. I mean, Kevin Sullivan's a great guy. And, I saw him back in November at WrestleCade, and he's just pure class to me.
He's also a very big fan of your T-shirt. Now, besides the T-shirt and the autographed pictures, are there any other Seymour Snot merchandise items that fans can purchase and collect?
There will be glasses coming out very soon, as well as more buttons for people to adorn their jean jackets with. Those will be coming out very soon. And I don't know what else I can figure out to put the Snot logo on. Maybe a bumper sticker?
I think that would sell very well, and hopefully your glasses are out in time for holiday gift-giving occasions, because QT is probably writing down a list right now that includes that at number one. He's mentioned it to me in the past.
And what better Halloween costume than going as a Snot, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
Now, one of the things that ring announcers make sure they mention is that you are the geek with the physique, and you're always in great condition. For the young wrestlers out there that want to get a physique as close to yours as possible, can you tell them what you do in order to achieve that?
Well, the first thing to do would be you get a pencil and paper, and you get a math book, and you do your homework. That's basically the first step. I would say definitely study some encyclopedias. Don't turn down your nose at a library. And I would say from there, you can also use books to lift above your head when you're sitting at your desk working on your computer or playing World of Warcraft.
All very good tips for the young aspiring wrestlers out there. I know that you are a big fan of Star Trek, and one of the premier cast members of that show, William Shatner, has often appeared at WWE events, usually involved with Jerry Lawler somehow. Would one of your goals be to combine a Star Trek convention with a wrestling convention and merge the two worlds?
Oh, I think that'd be great, because, you know, you could have, you know, I could definitely use, Jean-Luc Picard, and I could grab him by his head and we could hit people with a battering ram, or, you know, have Worf, you know, start clotheslining guys out of nowhere, because, you know, he is, you know, a warrior. So just, you know, the ultimate Klingon right there. So he would definitely be a choice partner of mine if I was to team up with him and we were to combine a wrestling show with a Star Trek convention.
That would be something I think would attract a lot of people. We should definitely get on that. Now, coming up this fall and winter, can you give the fans a little bit of a clue as to what they might be expecting out of the Gouge promotion?
Definitely. On September 19th and 20th in Raleigh at SparkCon, we'll be a part of it. So that'll be a two-day event. And there'll be wrestling going on from noon until 5 o'clock. And then on September 26th, I believe we are going to be at the Blackjack Brewery in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Is there any chance of Blackjack Lanza or Blackjack Mulligan or even Blackjack Mulligan Jr. popping up there at the Blackjack Brewery?
Well, we were kind of hoping that Blackjack Bradshaw would show up, but we think his asking price is too much.
That's a shame. Now, looking at the current landscape of Gouge, you, of course, have Kimmy Lou Retton, as we said, as the heavyweight champion. The tag team champions, to my knowledge, I believe still currently No Direction. You have challenged for those titles not so distant into the past. Are the tag team titles something that you're going to look at going into the fall and winter months?
Well, definitely. You know, it could be the Gouge title. It could be the North Carolina title. It could be the tag team title. Right now, I don't have any championship. So anybody that's got a championship belt, you know, they never know when, you know, I may take a run at their championship. So, but, you know, going after the tag team title was definitely good. And I think me and Victor Andrews definitely would have gotten pretty close to it. But, you know, once again, Count Grog interferes and, you know, cost me the match. And, you know, I think he's had some sort of, you know, fatal attraction towards me on not getting ahead anywhere in Gouge. You know, whether it's throwing powder in my face or using Jakob Hammermeyer to do his dirty work or choking me out with a pool noodle. I just don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know what he has against nerds.
One of the more interesting aspects that I noticed, you have Jakob Hammermeyer, which, of course, traditional German-Jewish name, the Shah of Grog, of course, derived from an old Persian word meaning king, two very divergent nationalities and backgrounds coming together. Do you think that there's some sort of conspiracy theory within Gouge?
Oh, you'd have to, you know, I definitely believe there is one. And, you know, I had a shot against Jimmy Jack Funk Jr. for the Gouge Championship. And, of course, I got screwed out of that. And then when I made, you know, I never got a rematch for the North Carolina title in which, you know, I was screwed there. So I definitely think Count Grog is influencing the board of directors and the championship committee or something. He must be using all his money to give them payoffs or something.
I don't know. I think he spends a fair amount of his money on hats because he's always very well attired with a very nice hat to complement his outfit.
Yes.
Well, we have just a few minutes left in this show, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, from your social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite amusement park, whatever it is, the floor is all yours.
Sure. My favorite amusement park is Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. You can find me on Twitter at Seymour Snot. Instagram, I'm at SuperSnot1, and I have a Facebook fan page, which of course is titled Seymour Snot. So definitely find me on all those places, and check out www.gougewrestling.com. It's a very interesting take on professional wrestling. It's gimmicks only underground grappling entertainment. So enjoy and have fun.
Seymour Snot, always a pleasure of ours whenever we get to have you on the show. Thank you very much for taking the time to be here today, and best of luck to you as you continue onward in your battle against the Shah of Grog.
Yep. Thank you, Sign Guy QT. It was a pleasure.
Fans, if you have the opportunity to check out Seymour Snot, do so. He's almost always a Gouge, which is an absolutely fun promotion. I highly recommend Gouge if you're anywhere near where they're running. And we will talk to you listeners next week. Next Friday, we wrap up Zane Month with Zane Paisley, the voice of ICW Pro in Indiana. Should be a great show with him. We'll talk to you next week.